Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 9, Text 54. When the contaminated food was offered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a very large bird appeared on the spot, picked up the plate in its beak, and flew away. There had been some argument between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and a Buddhist leader, and the losing party, the Buddhists, decided to... They made a plot, conspiracy theory, they made a plot to offer contaminated food to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when they did that, a big bird came and picked up the plate and flew away. Indeed, the untouchable food fell upon the Buddhists, and the large bird dropped the plate on the head of the chief Buddhist teacher. When it fell on his head, it made a big sound. So, amedya. Amedya means food which is untouchable. This is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Gatarasam bhuti paryushitam chayat uchchishtam apicha medyam bhojanam tamasapriyam. What's the first word? Yatayamam patarasam. In the Bhagavad Gita, there's three kinds of food mentioned. Food in goodness, food in passion, and food in ignorance. So food in ignorance is stale. Gatarasam, all the juice is gone. Puti, stinky. Paryushitam chayat. Uchchishtam, remnants of, you know, other food, other people's food, food that other people have picked at. And amedya, untouchable things. So I don't know what the acharyas have commented about untouchable things, but we know there's so many things that are untouchable. Certainly non-vegetarian food, meat, fish, and eggs are amedya. And the Shastras don't give a good score for onions and garlic. They're also tamasapriyam. So this was their offering to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bhojanam amedyam. But it fell on them. The plate was made of metal, tali, and when its edge hit the head of the teacher, it cut him, and the teacher immediately fell to the ground, unconscious. When the teacher fell unconscious, his Buddhist disciples cried aloud and ran to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for shelter. Loila Shonan. They all prayed to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, addressing him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, and saying, "Sir, please excuse our offense. Please have mercy upon us and bring our spiritual master back to life." The Lord then replied to the Buddhist disciples, "You should all chant the names of Krishna and Hari very loudly near the ear of your spiritual master." And then comes this verse. "By this method, your spiritual master will regain his consciousness." Following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advice, all the disciples, the Buddhist disciples, began to chant the holy name of Krishna congregationally. Hari Sankirtan. Guru Gorne Koheshava Krishna Rama Hari Chaitanya Pa Acharya Vole Hari Hari. When all the disciples chanted the holy names Krishna, Ram, and Hari, the Buddhist teacher regained consciousness and immediately began to chant the holy name of Lord Hari. Purport. Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that all the Buddhist disciples were actually initiated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. And when they chanted, they actually became different persons. At that time, they were not Buddhists or atheists, but Vaishnavas. Consequently, they immediately accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. Their original Krishna consciousness was revived, and they were immediately able to chant Hare Krishna and begin worshipping the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. It is the spiritual master who delivers the disciple from the clutches of Maya by initiating him into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In this way, a sleeping human being can revive his consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In other words, the spiritual master awakens the sleeping living entity to his original consciousness so that he can worship Lord Vishnu. This is the purpose of diksha, or initiation. Initiation means receiving the pure knowledge of spiritual consciousness. One point to note in this regard is that the spiritual master of the Buddhists did not initiate his disciples. Rather, his disciples were initiated by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they, in turn, were able to initiate their so-called spiritual master. This is the parampara system. The so-called spiritual master of the Buddhists was actually in the position of a disciple. And after his disciples were initiated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they acted as his spiritual masters. This was possible only because the disciples of the Buddhist Acharya received the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unless one is favored by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the disciplic succession, one cannot act as a spiritual master. We should take the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the spiritual master of the whole universe, to understand how one becomes a spiritual master and a disciple. So the disciples, the followers of the Buddhist Acharya, took shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Loilo Sharan, after all their plans, or after their plan got unraveled. Then they were distressed. Now their guru is unconscious, and they understood that they'd committed a great offense to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they surrendered. They took shelter of the Lord Loila Shunan. Arjuna took shelter of Krishna, Shishasteham Shadi Mam Tvam Prapannam. Now I surrender. So the followers of the Acharya surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and begged of him what to do. So he told them, chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna into the ear of your teacher. So they accepted his instruction, and they chanted into the ear of the teacher, and then the teacher began chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare. So, evam parampara praptam. The Lord gave them instruction. They surrendered to the Lord. He gave them instructions. He accepted it. They accepted it, the instruction. They chanted. Then the guru heard, and he chanted. And then everything was settled up. So the comment by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that the disciples actually initiated the so-called guru because they gave him the holy name of Krishna. And similarly, they had received it in parampara from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the process of initiation. Divyam Gyanam Tato Dadyat, a transmission of spiritual knowledge. Tad Vigyanartam Saguru Meva Bhigachchen. If one wants to get spiritual realization, then one must approach a bona fide spiritual master, Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam, a person who's heard the Vedic conclusion, Vedic instructions, and has full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the method. And the Buddhist teacher regained consciousness from another angle. Everyone is unconscious in the material world. We've forgotten Krishna. That's unconsciousness. And by chanting the holy name, having received it from the right source, we revive our consciousness of Krishna. The holy name is a transcendental, is none different from the Lord. It's a transcendental sound. It's not to be misunderstood to be merely a musical vibration, a tuneful musical item for entertainment or inspiration. It's Krishna, Abhinatan Namanamino. So the potency, there's no mention here that there were any instruments or anything like that. But by the potency of the transcendental sound vibration, the students came to the right consciousness, and the Acharya, Buddhist Acharya also came to the right point. That's the purpose, or the reason why Krishna descends in the form of the holy name, to give the opportunity, to give everyone the opportunity to revive their eternal Krishna consciousness. The chanting, as Prabhupada said, is meant to be a sincere cry to Krishna and Krishna's energy to revive our Krishna consciousness and engage us in Krishna's service. So initiation in this age particularly means initiation into the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And the initiation means, along with the initiation, it's not just that there's chanting, but there's chanting in a process. Srila Prabhupada emphasized this, that if we just chant without coming to the process, then the chanting will become namaparad. It will be offensive chanting, and we won't get the desired result. The process means approaching a bona fide spiritual master. guess the cell phone check didn't happen, did it? Thank you. So the process is that one has to have some initial interest, then associate with the devotees, and then take up the bhajan kriya, the activities of devotional service, under proper guidance. One should accept initiation, one should follow strictly four regulative principles, and rise early in the morning. And they're here from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and render service under proper direction. This is the process. It's not only that we sing and play music and then do any nonsense. That won't be useful. We'll just cheat ourselves and cheat others. But if we chant in the process, then we may be good musicians or bad musicians. It may be musically pleasing or not so musically adept. But the potency will be there. The potency comes not from the music, but from the purity of those who are chanting. Purity means dedication to Krishna within the process of devotional service. And that, there are so many professional bhajan singers, highly celebrated and beautiful, what they can do with a note. So impressive. But it's only musically impressive. By hearing the beautiful bhajans, people go, ooh, ooh, ooh. But they don't become devotees of the Lord. The bhajan singer himself is not a devotee. And the people who hear don't become devotees. We know such people from our association in Bombay, especially. We know that at least some of the celebrated bhajan singers are woman hunters. They like alcohol and so on. And this is their profession, to sing beautifully, bhajans and so on. But by hearing that, no one becomes a devotee. But by hearing Srila Prabhupada or hearing Prabhupada's followers, so many people all over the world have become devotees of Krishna and continue to become devotees of Krishna. Now that's where the potency lies, and that's the holy name that we have to spread. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says someplace that someone is chanting, non-devotees are chanting, someone's chanting in the association of non-devotees. But he says that although the syllables are coming, it's not Harinam. It may be Hare Krishna, but it's not Harinam. Harinam means that there's some transmission of transcendental sound that comes not just by pronouncing syllables, but by devotional service to the Lord. Yes. So here, of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his chanting was perfect. And because the followers of the Buddhist Acharya accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sakshat Ishwar, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We accept you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We accept your prescription to chant the holy name. And so their chanting was effective. There was one girl in the Bahamas in the 1960s, I think, late 1960s, who was little interested in Krishna consciousness. And she wanted to spread Krishna consciousness and where she was living. And Prabhupada wrote that apparently she had some misgivings about whether her chanting would be effective. She wasn't initiated. She was just a newbie. But Prabhupada said, yes, you've heard the chanting from my disciples. They've heard it from me. So the chanting, your chanting will be effective. So this is the process, evam parampara praptam. One has to receive the holy name in the parampara system and dedicate oneself to serving the holy name. Then one can spread the holy name everywhere and it will be spiritually potent, effective. All right. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
There was this quote from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur about how initiation means the transmission of spiritual knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So how important is that knowledge, the philosophical understanding that we have?
How important is the philosophical
understanding that we have in our chanting of the holy name? Is that a key factor, or can someone chant very innocently and not know so much philosophy and be able to chant in a pure way?
How important is the philosophy? Does one need to understand philosophy, or is it all right just to chant the holy name? There should be some understanding. Therefore, it's said, divyam gyanam tato dadyat. Initiation means initiation into divya gyan, transcendental knowledge. So for transcendental knowledge, one doesn't need to be a great philosopher to know Vedanta Sutra inside and out. But one should understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sakshat Ishwar, the followers of the Buddhist Acharya. We accept you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One may say, well, one doesn't need the philosophy. And the sahajas, that's their line. Books. It's not about books, it's about bhav. So lay aside the books and let's get into the bhav. But what happens is because they don't have philosophical understanding. Philosophical understanding doesn't have to be a matter of great proficiency in logic. But one should understand what is matter. One should understand what is spirit. And one should understand the difference between the two. One should understand that one is not the body, that one is spirit soul, and that one is an eternal servant of Krishna. And that much, at least, one must understand. Otherwise, one gets everything wrong. One starts to think that Radha and Krishna are like John and Barbara. One starts to think that everything material is somehow spiritual. Just add Hare Krishna, and everything becomes spiritual, all my nonsense becomes spiritual. So one needs some instruction also. There are 10 offenses to avoid in chanting the holy name. So one should be instructed. This is also Divya Gyan. Divya Gyan doesn't just mean philosophy or what color what gopi wears in Goloka Vrindavan. But it means knowing what are the 10 offenses to avoid at the time of initiation. These were the Prabhupada's topics.
Do you agree to follow the four regulative principles? No gambling, no intoxicants, not even coffee or tea, cigarettes. No meat eating, no meat, fish, eggs, and no gambling. One has to agree to these things. Otherwise, where's the divya gyan? Knowledge means action, actionable knowledge. If Yadavar suddenly yelled fire, and everybody else said, "Oh," that means nobody got it. It's not just that we heard the vibration, and now that's our business is complete. But one has to understand the meaning, the import, the purpose, that the place is on fire, let's head for the door. Then you have knowledge. Then you have knowledge. Not just theoretical. Vigyan. Gyan is knowledge, but vigyan artam. One should have knowledge that one assimilates, that one understands, that one acts upon. That's the sign of understanding. So to get that knowledge, one has to approach the bona fide spiritual master and follow his instructions. Four regulative principles, then chanting a certain number of rounds every day, Prabhupada fixed it at 16, and avoiding 10 offenses. Prabhupada said 16 good rounds sometimes. And when he was asked what is quality in chanting, there's quantity and there's quality. He said quality means avoiding the 10 offenses. So one should understand these things and as far as possible understand the basic siddhantas or conclusions of Krishna consciousness. They're not so hard. There was, I think, the original Bhakti Shastri test, and it had questions like, who are you? Who is Krishna? What is your relationship, you know, with Krishna? And simple thing that this one has to understand. Jivar Sharupai, Krishna Nityadas, everyone is servant of Krishna. These are practical philosophy. And if one can study the books and learn so many other things, it's wonderful. But one should understand, one should be firmly convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we're all his servants. We should hear from books like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada instituted that also. When he talked about hearing, it's not just that we hear Harinam, but we hear Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's not that. Therefore, when there's kirtan, akanda kirtan, 24-hour kirtan, Bhagavatam is non-different from the kirtan. Not that kirtan only means kartals, mridangas, harmonium, and harinam. Srimad Bhagavatam is also kirtan. When Sukadeva Goswami, who's the person who attained perfection just by kirtan? Sukadeva Goswami. So where were the kartals and mridanga? He simply spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. That was the kirtan. So kirtan doesn't mean, 24-hour kirtan doesn't just mean Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It does mean Hare Krishna, but also it means Bhagavad Gita, Krishna Gita, Bhagavad Gita Gita. This is also Krishna Kirtan. And chanting the holy name of Krishna is also Krishna Kirtan. Yes.
Thank you for your interesting class. Here's my question. I notice sometimes there are devotees, they get really into Harinam Sankirtan book distribution, but then in order to get initiation, they have to do Bhakti Shastra, which is maybe not in their nature. Is it okay to have a path to initiation that bypasses Bhakti-Shastri, because for some people it's not their thing, plus it kind of sends a message that Bhakti-Shastri is more important than, say, books in Harinam. But for a lot of people, they think we're missing as a society that some of the new people coming are not getting enough of that, so because they're spending more time studying the books, you see. So if that makes sense.
Yeah. There are people who are more into book distribution and chanting Hare Krishna and less studious, but then they sort of, they're obliged to take time out to do a Bhakti Shastri course so that they can get initiation. So is that required? First thing is, for those who are Bhakti Shastris and have studied the books carefully or have done more advanced degrees, there's nothing in the books about becoming a Bhakti Shastri. There's no Bhakti Shastri course mentioned, nor is it mentioned as a prerequisite for initiation. Here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't tell the followers of the Buddhist acharyas, okay, take the Bhakti Shastri course, and then... So it's not an inherent requirement of initiation. The essence of initiation is transmission. It's surrender by the disciple to the bona fide spiritual master and transmission of transcendental sound, transcendental knowledge to the sincere disciple. That's initiation. Divya Ganam Tato Dadyat. That's initiation. Then our institution, for one reason or another, may give this requirement, that requirement, for their own considerations, according to their judgment as to what is beneficial. But there's no inherent requirement. Prabhupada didn't require a Bhakti Shastri degree. Shastras don't require it. But the institution may do whatever deems appropriate. That's their business. Yes.
For myself, I went to Mayapur, I'm trying to think is his name, but he was the head of MIHE at that time, and he suggested that really you should study together and do a study with Bhakti Shastri. And one thing, so I thought I'd take it up and ask the authorities here if I could go and study Bhakti Shastri, because it was suggested. They said, well, you know, if you're not qualified, you know, in other words, you're like, because I kept nodding off in class, it disqualified me. But the one thing I did learn there, I thought, I must try and improve and get to know Prabhupada's books. It became a sort of... But I also mustn't let the authorities down and embarrass them with my lack of ability to listen to class properly. So...
It's better, better to embarrass the authorities by knowing more than they do.
Yeah. So anyway, what came from that was that actually studying in association with devotees, it really stirred up their neck, because you'd hear things you didn't understand before, or that was it just deepened the taste of Krishna consciousness. That's for certain. Study in the association of devotees is wonderful.
In the nectar of devotion, we find that one should study these books in the association of devotees.
Yeah.
What is that? Satam prasangat mamavirya samvado. Bhavanti Hritkarna Rasayana Katha. The Krishna Katha becomes relishable and its potency is realized when we hear in the association of devotees. Satam prasangat mamavirya sambhada, when we hear and discuss in devotee association. So the, you know, I don't know what's, I don't know what's in the Bhakti Shastri course exactly. I don't know what's in the Bhakti Shastri course, but the principle is that we should try to understand the message of Krishna. Even if we don't take the Bhakti Shastri course, come to the class. There's a class every day. Before there was a Bhakti Shastri course, there was a daily Srimad Bhagavatam class. And so if we think, no, that's not really for me, that is for us. We should hear Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyutama Shloka Shloke Bhakti or Pavati Naishtaki, to be firmly situated in devotional service to Krishna. We should regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada even phrases it, it just says Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. But Srila Prabhupada phrases it by regular attendance in the Bhagavat class. So Prabhupada expected that of his students. Even there is one letter he wrote to Gopichanda Ballabha Das, who was the president of the ISKCON temple in New York City at the time, and said that, I'm here in Vrindavan. This must have been maybe 1977, 76, 77, I think 77. And Prabhupada said, I'm here in Vrindavan, and in the evenings I am listening to the class given by my disciples, and I am enjoying. He said, so as I'm doing, you should also do. He said, don't try to be a greater Paramahansa than your Guru Maharaj. Yeah, sometimes also we think, no, I'll only hear Prabhupada. But Prabhupada was listening to the classes given by his disciples. I'll only read Prabhupada's books. But Prabhupada was having his disciples write Saurabh Damodar Maharaj, Satsur Maharaj, BBT published books that they'd written under Prabhupada's direction. And the Back to Godhead, Prabhupada said all the disciples should write. And he said actually that he was writing all the articles, but they were being divided under different names. That means their writing was also his. So we should hear Bhagavad Gita, Krishna Gita, in the association of devotees, and how it's structured. It may be a Bhakti Shastri course, it may be a this, it may be a that, but we should regularly hear and try to understand the meaning of Bhagavad Gita as it is and Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is, in this section where Lord Chaitanya is dealing with the Buddhists, it's like the underlying message is that even when you try to cheat God, out of the mercy Lord Chaitanya still gives the holy name. So my question is how we can, as a preachers, or those which carry the message of Lord Chaitanya, be also intelligent and merciful to the degree that even if people want to cheat us, blaspheme us, or have varieties of negative emotion towards our practices or movement, still how we can be intelligent to present Krishna consciousness that is accepted palatably or accepted in general.
Accept or not accept, palatable or not palatable, just put it out there. There's all this, I hear a lot about you presenting it palatably, and Prabhupada says that it should be presented palatably for the audience. The main thing is present the substance. If it's nice and palatable and there's nothing in it, then what have you given? If all it is palatable, like your dietitian, if he looks at your diet and everything's palatable and nothing has any nutrition in it, he's going to say, you have a problem. So the substance has to be there. Otherwise, nice and palatable. Same thing, kirtan, beautiful, and everybody's got, they've listened to Bhimsen Joshi or Anup Jalota, and they've got all these things they've picked up from their alaps, and you know, but they're not following the four regulative principles, then what's the use? It means it's all music and no substance. Similarly, Bhagavatam should be heard in the association of devotees who are following the process. Then, by hearing that kind of Krishna katha, or by hearing Harinam chanted by devotees who are seriously following. And it's not that a person who has a nice voice or who's good with instruments can't be seriously following. That's not, I don't mean to say that. But the essence is to be following. Then it will have potency. So we should hear that. And then give it out there. People may take it or not take it. They may take it or not. As palatable as you make it, there's going to be people who, you know, they'll see what it is. It's Hare Krishna. Okay, we don't want it. Well, no matter what you do. And other people, it may be crude, it may be unsophisticated, but they'll take it. Prabhupada gave the example. He was talking about kirtan. And he was essentially saying, don't bother much about the music. The main thing is the purity. And he gave the example that in Puri, the Jagannath deity, from an artistic point of view, is very crude. Lord Jagannath is quite the unsophisticated work of art from an artistic point of view. But millions of people go to see Lord Jagannath. So it's not dependent on mundane measures of artistry. And he's Krishna. And people go. One time, Jadurani was sitting in Prabhupada's sitting room, the room outside where Prabhupada was working at 26 Second Avenue. And she was painting a picture of Varahadev. And a letter came from Montreal. We had, like at that time, maybe four temples or something, Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, Montreal, maybe one or two others. And they were having a world's fair in Montreal. And so devotees wanted to participate, and they asked if Jadurani could send some paintings. And Prabhupada said yes. And so she asked, what painting should I send, Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, you can send that one. Swamiji, I don't think they'll understand Lord Bohr. He said, they may understand or not understand. Send it. And he quoted or cited that Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Varanasi. Mayabadi headquarters went to Varanasi and said that I brought all these fruits to sell and I'm prepared to sell them very cheap. He said, and if no one buys them, then I'll take them back. He's probably said, but everybody bought them. So in that way, just present, Prabhupada always, that was his message, that we don't have to try to cheat people or trick people or touch our nose by going around the back of our head. Just present. This is Krishna consciousness. This is what it is. And people who are interested will take it. And so many people will be interested. People are looking for Krishna. People are looking for Krishna. So you put Krishna out there, and people will take it. And those who don't take it, all right, Hare Krishna, we can't get everyone. But at least those who are interested should be able to recognize it. Not that it's so well disguised that, you know, even Krishna wouldn't recognize himself. Just put it out there. And sincere people, what did Prabhupada do? That's what Prabhupada did. He put it out there and sincere people came. That's not to say one can't have a strategy, that one can't be tactful, that one can't use musical talent or be palatable in one's speech, but the main thing is the substance. If the substance isn't there, everything else is useless. And if the substance is there, everything else can be what it is. Even, what is that? Even if it's presented in broken language, avajjavachyapi. And Narada's instructions to Vyasadeva. Even if it's presented in broken language, and what was Prabhupada's original Bhagavatam was all broken up. Even there were words upside down, literally upside down, you know, from typesetting. Words upside down, things misspelled, English that wasn't quite to the standard, and yet people took it. Because the substance was there. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for the nice class. I found it interesting, actually, in this verse that the Buddhists, after this instance with the metal plate, immediately...
A little louder, please.
That these Buddhists, after this instance with the metal plate, immediately accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it seems like there was already kind of an underlying belief in a Supreme Person. And then from your class, I took away that how purity can sometimes be more powerful than words, actually. So my question would be, if you have any advice, how purity can be used as an effective method of preaching?
How it can be preaching. Used as an effective method of preaching.
And maybe even beyond words at times.
Well, you don't use it exactly. You don't like sort of break out the purity. But you follow the process and then your words will be pure. Or your efforts will be pure. By following forward. And probably again and again, he's like drum beating this. Follow four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds. That's purity. Avoid 10 offenses. Then it will be potent. Just follow the process. Chant 16 rounds, avoid 10 offenses. Follow four regulative principles strictly. Potency will, and then the process will work. When it works, it will communicate itself to others. People will see these people, they have something. If you don't have it, people won't see it because it's not there. But people, Prabhupada even said that the priests said, oh, bright-faced. The priests could see the purity of the devotees. So where's that purity? Strictly following four regulative principles. Chanting 16 rounds, avoiding 10 offenses, hearing regularly, following the process of devotional service. Yes, Hare Krishna. We'll give you a microphone.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you so much. My question is, what is the most important qualification for us to receive Lord Chaitanya's potency of pure love of God? Because he could give
that in a moment. What's the most important qualification for?
For receiving. Yeah.
The potency of Lord Chaitanya's message of pure love.
Yeah.
On the one side, it's good fortune to come in touch. You know, we may be the most unqualified, but if we come in touch with a pure devotee of Krishna, we can become qualified. And that's in one sense, the most important qualification. What was the qualification of these Buddhists? You know, they were impersonalists. They tried to. What's the word? Trick and cheat Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they're totally unqualified, but they got in some trouble, and they, what is that? Artartarti Jigyasu. So when they were in trouble, they surrendered, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them mercy. So the it's so important to come in touch with a pure devotee of Krishna and get mercy from a pure devotee of the Lord. Prabhupada one time said, "I've created your qualifications." What qualification? Kiratu Hunandra Palinda Pulkasha Abhira Shumba, all Manda Sumanda Mateo Manda Bhagya, low born, unqualified, addicted to all sorts of materialistic activities. But Shujanti Tasmai Prabhavishnava Enama. If one comes in touch with a pure devotee, then Sarvasiddhihoi, one can get all perfection. But then the other side, we should be sincere, we should be receptive. The Buddhist Acharya's students accept it. That's what Prabhupada's mentioned as their qualification. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, do this, they did it. They accepted. Prabhupada said that also about his Western students. They didn't know anything. They pretty much knew they didn't know anything, at least about Krishna consciousness. And so whatever Prabhupada said, they accepted. That's called simplicity. So if we hear from the right person and then we're sincere, submissive, Bruyu Snigdasya Shishasya Guruve Guru Mapyuta, it's mentioned in first canto. The Naimisharanya sages were praising Suta Goswami. Tatvatas Tadanugrahat. You've gotten the mercy of your spiritual masters. Why? Bruyusnigdasya Shishasya Guruve Gurumap. They've reserved for you all the confidential knowledge reserved for a submissive student. Snigdha means submissive. Prabhupada called the process submissive oral reception. Just oral reception is may or may not work. If it's not submissive, it won't have the effect. But submissive oral reception, the spiritual master says, this is this, and we accept, yes, this is it. This is what it is. We may have questions, that's all right, but submissive. But the spiritual masters, Prabhupada said, we have to become yes men. Usually a yes man is just someone who flatters someone else by saying yes, yes. But Prabhupada meant that when the spiritual master says, no gambling, yes sir, no gambling. No intoxicants, yes sir. No meat eating, yes sir, no gambling. No illicit sex, yes, sir. And 16 rounds, yes, sir. That's submissive. Kardashe vachanam tava. What is that? Yes, kardashe vachanam tava. What you say, I'll do. Simplicity. That what the spiritual master says, I'll accept. I'll do that. If you're looking for a doctor, the doctor has to be qualified, and then you have to take the medicine. If you're not willing, what's the use? Don't waste your money. Don't waste your time. Even in Ayurveda, there's a list of patients that avaidya, a doctor, shouldn't accept. And one is a patient who won't take the medicine. He thinks he's a doctor, or some other way. That's useless. But therefore, submissive. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Someone else? Yeah, wherever the microphone goes.
Hare Krishna. We noticed that Lord Chaitanya defeated
some other philosophies
closer as well. To the mouth.
We notice that Lord Chaitanya, during his travels, he defeated other philosophies as well. But why was the reaction of Buddhists so radically different from others? And what did they want to achieve by offering him this kind of food?
What did the Buddhists want to achieve by...
offering him contaminated food. And why was the reaction so different from other philosophies or other people that Lord Chaitanya defeated philosophically? Why were they so agitated by what Lord Chaitanya said?
Well, let's go back and see what the text says. If I remember, it's just like, what's the word? Just mean. They were just sour. Let's see. Yeah, he defeated their things. And then people began to laugh at them, and they felt ashamed and fearful. And they knew that he was a Vaishnava, so they went home unhappy. And Tobe Mantrana Koilo. Then they made a plot, a conspiracy theory. A conspiracy, not a theory. So this was their, what's the word? Their own contamination. They were contaminated in their consciousness, and they thought to contaminate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Mayavadis, from one point of view, they're all contaminated, and they try to convince us that Krishna is contaminated, that Brahman is pure, formlessness is pure, and personal identity is contaminated. So they all try to contaminate Krishna. And therefore, Mayavadi Hoy Krishna Parati, Krishna says they're all offenders. And here they took the opportunity, literally, to try.